Well,
we're listening to Today FM. We're listening to weather.
The chaos is moving towards
what's going on with the aftermath of in the aftermath of
of
cyclone cyclone Gabriella. Cyclone Gabriel. And there's a guy called Robert Dush, funny name like that. He's from New York, sounds like it, or maybe New Jersey, and he's been predicting all this stuff all around the world. He doesn't do earthquakes, but he does cyclones and weather events. He says it's all engineered, and he's pretty convincing. He predicted this cyclone about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said we're going to cop it. He said there's another one coming. Australia about to get a thumping, and so be a good idea to watch this fellow. He's a bit pissed off with New Zealanders because he said that some of them are disrespectful to him. He said we've got to learn to be polite, and he's going to block us from getting information about future events if we're not a little bit more respectful towards him. And I can understand that. And I put that on my Facebook page, Grant Edwards Facebook. Welcome to have a look. It's all open to the public. Everything I do is open and transparent. And but those New Yorkers, New Jersey types, I know one, and they use bad language is all part of their, it's part of their vocabulary, unless they're Christians. Most of them swear pretty badly. It's just part of their everyday language, so don't be too offended, but it has got some bad language in it. But I can understand his position, that he's a bit annoyed with us, he's saying that some of us here in New Zealand, are calling him a scam artist and things like that. He's got nothing to gain, but he's pretty clever, and he is predicting, and he looks at things, and he shows us, quite transparent as well, and he shows us that it's all engineered, and he seems to have the inside knowledge on it, seems to have some sort of understanding of geoengineering or weather warfare. And anyway, he says another one's on the way. And some of the great things that have come, I'm just going to start my engine, so I hope it's not too loud. The great things really that we've learned from this, apart from all that geoengineering side or weather warfare side, which, I'm not that convinced yet, but, I'm keeping an open mind. Always keep an open mind. That's, especially in this day and age, it's pretty important to just keep an open mind as to, what could be causing these things. But what I have learned from just watching is that people have to be really, because they're obviously these events that, the globalists are warning us continuously, giving us foreknowledge. They're telling us that there's going to be more of these viruses, so-called. There's going to be more weather events. And they're saying that it's caused by global warming. They might not be coming out and saying that right now. Some are, but that you can guarantee they're going to blame the whole thing on global warming, and they're going to say, so we've got to be aware that they're going to use this psychology so that that it encourages us to get into EVs or start, riding the bike to work or moving away from the country and into the city, because farmers were, in some areas, were badly affected because their farms are in low-lying areas. And riverbanks, poorly built riverbanks, a very poor storm water system throughout most of the country, because councils using the United Nations Agenda 21, don't laugh at me, because this is true. Just a quick reading. I read Rosa Corey's little book, less than 300 pages, Behind the Green Mask, 3 times last week. And, every time I read it, I learned something more, something new. And so this Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, councils throughout New Zealand, throughout the world, they are diverting funds that should be spent on infrastructure, on maintenance of the things that we pay our taxes for. They are diverting those funds to Agenda 21 Sustainable Development projects, like cycleways. What on earth would you want cycleways for? See, we think it's just stupidity. We think it's just councils wasting money, but it's not. It's councils obeying United Nations Agenda 21. Get that in your head. It is not some harebrained idea. They're doing this all over the world. So we know that it's a worldwide international body that is pushing for this stuff, and they are manipulating our politicians. I don't know how they're doing it. They've obviously got something on them. So obviously you don't get into politics unless they've got something on you. They won't let you get anywhere near the reins of power. And you, and when you get there, you're not actually, you don't have any reins of power. You are just puppets for an international group. People are calling it a cabal. And, you know, we can't continue to call people that are calling out this stuff tinfoil hat wearers and conspiracy theorists, because the conspiracies, that part is true. These conspiracies are proving to be correct. And so the people that have been warning us about mandates and vaccines and gene therapy and all that sort of stuff, and weather warfare and geoengineering, these people aren't crackpots. They're just open-minded thinking people, and it's proving to come true. A lot of it is. And you know, you'd have to have rocks in your head. You'd have to be living in la la land, you know, just preoccupied with sport or drinking or smoking marijuana or doing other, some other kind of a drug, to keep your mind off the reality of what is actually going on here. And so it's pretty obvious that it's that the globalists are at the enemy. And they are planning a complete takeover of our world as we know it today. But before they can do that, they need to demolish what we have. They need to destroy capitalism, which is the best system that I know of, and the free market. And they want to completely control and manipulate that. And they're doing that by, we saw it over COVID. We saw small businesses shut down, and the large corporations who have partnerships, might not be shares, but they have agreements with government that allows them to continue to operate under strict rules that they have to obey, like people have to be masked up. And they were getting very close to saying that only vaccinated people could shop. That was coming. And you can guarantee that only that people that are on super and other and benefits and sickness benefits and the like, they would be the only ones receiving any benefit if they were vaccinated, so-called, if they were jabbed and had their digital ID proving that they were. So people, we've got to wake up, and we have to fight these bastards that are doing this to us. We can't let this happen. We can't lie down and let these people run roughshod over us. And people like, you know, I wrote to Chris Luxon last week, and his office replied to me that they had nothing to do, and nor would they have anything to do with allowing the United Nations or the World Health Organization or the WEF, the World Economic Forum, manipulating their policies if they became government. But I said, well, how about Chris Luxon put that in writing to me? I haven't heard back. And I've written again saying, you're going to reply? And that to me, that tells me that he is a globalist, that he knows, he pretends he doesn't know anything about the WEF. Well, if he doesn't know anything about the WEF, he's either one of two things. He's either an absolute liar, and he calls himself a Christian, supposed to be Christian, and I thought Christians didn't tell lies, or if he truly doesn't know about the WEF, then he's blimmin' ignorant and shouldn't be allowed anywhere near Parliament, because he's ignorant and he needs to know what's going on. So I don't believe it. I think he's a lying Christian. That's what I think he is. He's a professed lying Christian. There's no other logical explanation for his ignorance or willing ignorance about the WEF. And we know that he is involved for, you know, young globalists. He was involved in that. And so if he's involved in that, he's involved with the WEF. We know that Simon Power, who runs the most powerful organisation, the most mind-controlling organisation, Television New Zealand, in the entire country, he is the CEO of that. And we know that he is a Klaus Schwab WEF graduate. And he's running the public relations for the government. He's running interference. So we've really got to wake up. We have to, all of us have to be involved in spreading the word as best we can, any way we can. And really, if we want to out this government, I think that if all of the small parties got together, which I don't think they've got the ability to, because they all want to be kingpin. That's the problem with our minor parties. They all want to run the show. And so what we need is, but we need this to happen. You've just got to put your pride in your pocket, and all of you have got to get together. So Carl Bromley, you've got to get along with Brian Tamaki, even if you don't agree with him on some matters. There's a lot of what he said in that speech on the 6th of February that you would not disagree with. So you and your party, and I don't know whether you've got much following, but if you have, you need to get behind Brian Tamaki and the New Nation Party, who have formed an alliance under this umbrella with Brian Tamaki. And my vote is with Brian Tamaki, because he's the only one that's come out and called the shots about the Maori caucus making $1 billion a year. And Maori gets none of it, but Maori caucus do. They get all of it. He's right on everything. He's right about the globalists controlling our politicians. So our parliament is riddled with globalist thinking. So is our bureaucracy, which control all the parties. So if National get in, the bureaucrats tell them, like in the, say for instance, in the Justice Department, they tell the politicians what to say. They are fully globalist, and they are totally brainwashed into the agenda that a nation state is a really bad idea, and that a one world government is the best way to go. They believe it. They think they're doing the right thing. And they know that to make an omelette, eggs need to be broken. And they're quite happy for some of us to die, a lot of us to die, to fulfill their globalist, one world government utopia. They think this is going to be a utopia. They think it's going to be a marvelous idea. But I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live away from where I live. I love it in the country, and I'm going to live in the country. I'm going to drive my V8 diesel, and I'll just keep making it, making my own diesel. And I think we need to start thinking about how we can survive these buggers, because I think that we need to start looking at how we can. We've got to be fully independent. Right now, we're all very dependent. We're dependent on the government for fuel. The government now is dependent on the world. They're no longer independent for fuel, because if they allowed Marsden Point to be closed, the refinery to be shut down. Now, this isn't just happening for Marsden Point in New Zealand. This is happening all over the world. Oil refineries all over the world are being shut down, and certain controllable refineries in certain countries, which are well in the pocket of the United Nations or the WEF or the bad guys, they're the ones that are supplying the oil, and they're supplying it as fuel, so we don't even get a chance to make our own. And you know, we actually do, we do have oil here, we are producing oil, but these people behind this green mask that Rosa Corey talks about, they want to shut everything down so that we will be totally dependent, and that we will have to live in these high-density, rezoned, high-density, high-rise buildings in cities. And there'll be new cities built, you can guarantee it. Towns will become cities. And we'll be moved out of the suburbs and out of the country, where a lot of us like to live, because we can be independent. And we can live in, they want us to live in these 15-minute cities so that everything is 15 minutes away, 15 to work, 15 to the supermarket. That's their aim. That's what they want us to be living in. So why? Why? So that we can be controlled and surveilled. That's why. And so we're a lot easier to manage in these as little neo-feudal slaves in these cities, these high-rise cities that take up not much land mass. And so we're all going to be bunched into them, and you can guarantee, you know, I've talked about this before, they're going to turn into ghettos, absolute ghettos. So what do we need? We need to be able to provide for our, collect our own water. We need to be off grid. We need to be able to, so that when the power goes out, we're fine. We've got a form of, and I really think that making diesel is not that hard, actually. You can make diesel from used oil, diesel oil. You can make it from that. It's called black diesel. Or you can make it from cooking oil that's been used. You know, and that's going to become a thing, that's going to be in tight demand, actually. And so, you know, you better get on to storing some of that now, I would think. But so you need to be able to create your own energy, and be self-sufficient from the government and grow your own food and grow your own animals. That's highly important, to have your own animals there. And so what the government's done, what they're doing with this they're pretending to protect the Kiwis, is they're killing our wild animals, that are deer and pigs and other goats and things that we can hunt. They are actually killing them and poisoning them with their 1080 drops in the reserves all around New Zealand. A friend of mine had a 3,000 hectare block that he was hunting on, a private block, and the owner of that block couldn't stop Doc from airdropping 1080 in over his property, and they've done it, and so they've ruined it now. So no one, he can't even send his dogs up the back to bring the cows down in case it comes across some dead animal that's been poisoned by the 1080, and then the dog's down. And you know, for a farmer to lose a dog is a big thing, because they are a major tool that the farmer uses to move animals around his property. So a heading dog or a hunt away are very important animals, and you just cannot afford to have those animals die on you from eating a carcass that's poisoned through the government's 1080. So that means that he isn't able to use all of his land, because even close to these bush areas where the government has sprayed, and I'm saying government because they're the ones behind it all, the bureaucrats, they sign off on the stuff that Doc does. And so helicopter pilots that are dropping 1080, you know, they need to be arrested and put in jail, because they are culpable. They are in a partnership with Doc and the government to poison our future food. This is food for us that we will need to eat, because, you know, and when the cyclone bowls through and we find out we don't have fuel, we don't have electricity, we don't have communications device, and I will talk about what we need for communications as well. And when we don't have, the ability to communicate is really important. And I think that we need to look at, say, SSB or citizen band or some kind of communication there. We need to get organized on that and get some towers built on our properties so that we can communicate with each other when things get rugged, because we certainly can't do it when the internet's down. What a shocking event that all the cell towers went down, the batteries ran flat, and you know, there was no power generation. There was no backup generators. What on earth was that all about? Well, I just think it's all part of it. The government allows these companies to do this on the cheap, and they don't worry. They don't plan for the worst, for a natural disaster. I'm beginning to think this wasn't a natural disaster, but we'll go there another day. So those tel companies, there needs to be an investigation into that. They need to not be able to put up a cell tower unless they've got a proper diesel generation system, backup system, so they can keep those cell towers on. Because, you know, there's a lot of people missing at the moment. And we don't know, you know, a lot of people in outlying areas that we don't know where they are. And, if the communications was working properly, we'd know where they were. And so we've put far too much reliance on the government to look after us. So we need to grow our own food, animals and crops. We need to have our own water collection at wells or tanks or whatever. We need to have our own communications device. And we need to have some real good community backups. You know, we need to be in groups so that we can actually help one another. But we need to, folks, you need to be independent. You cannot rely on this government, because you can't trust them. And you can't trust Luxon, and you certainly can't trust David Seymour, because they're all globalists. They're all going to do what they're told. They're in it for the money. They're not in it for us. They're in it to feather their own nest, just like John Key was. And, you know, Jacinda Ardern apparently was worth, you know, $800,000 or something, and then property, and now she's worth $23 million or something. I don't know whether she's being paid by people, BlackRock or whoever. People are saying all sorts of things. I don't know. But, you know, how do you amass that much in 5 years? How do you amass that much real estate in 5 years? And that's just in New Zealand property holdings. So, wow. Anyway, so we've got to be independent, folks. We've got to have our own power. So you need to you're going to have to invest some money in some solar, in some generation, backup generation, and start thinking wind. If you're near a stream that runs well, think about hydro generation, wind, hydro, and solar. And of course, your backup will be either petrol or diesel. I don't think petrol is the way to go. I'm running petrol and diesel, and I actually think in the long, I think you've got a better chance of making your own diesel, or even even electric. But that will, you'll only be able to use electric if the sun is shining or the wind is blowing. So those are the sorts of things we definitely need a backup. So they're going, look, can't you see it? They're just getting rid of everything. They're taking everything away from New Zealand, so that it has to be, is it so that it becomes totally dependent on outside, on foreign firms, foreign companies, and foreign agencies. We're no longer self-sufficient. New Zealand in 1961, we owed nothing to anybody. We were totally self-sufficient. We didn't have any borrowing whatsoever. In 1961, Sir Keith Holyoake, we had a visit from the guy from the World Bank. It's now called the International Monetary Fund. And he convinced Holyoake, lovely man, convinced him to borrow millions of dollars for projects. But all that did was, instead of us just building them as we could afford them, we were making a lot of money. New Zealand was a very wealthy country. And but we couldn't be controlled because we didn't owe any money to anybody. We were still obviously part of Great Britain, but we were very independent and very successful company. We had great, in 1961, we had the fabulous relationship with Māori as well. And of late, that has been decimated through the government's division, through allowing the Māori Party and the Māori Caucus to push for absolute apartheid laws. And, you know, that is shocking. You know, everything inside of us says that is wrong. Segregation is wrong. Supremacy, people getting hospital treatment, you know, because of their nationality, because of their ethnic group ahead of others, you know, that are more needy, needing the hospital treatment or medical care. It's all wrong. And so the main point of this recording today is that we have to start thinking how we can be more independent and be able to survive what these people are throwing at us. So we need to be careful where we live so that we don't get caught in floodwaters. And, you know, careful where we build so that we don't, if it's up on top of the ridge, yes, it's got a lovely view, but hey, you know, you're really exposed to some of these powerful winds that may or may not be engineered. We don't know. We've had big winds before. This one wasn't the greatest of winds, but it went over a long period of time. It had some amazingly, the gusts were quite big, and it had all that rain that went with it. And the bridges, why aren't the bridges that are crossing these rivers that do swell, why aren't they, I saw one just collapse, why aren't they joined in the middle like the Whangarei Bridge, smaller versions of that, so that when the water gets to a certain level, the bridges go up. Okay, you can't cross the road, but hey, the water needs to get through, because you won't have a road anyway, because you won't have a bridge if it all collapses, which happened to a lot of bridges in the centre of the North Island. So we need to have those bridges that automatically go up. And our money needs to be, we need to guarantee that our money is being channeled into this type of maintenance and better thought out storm systems, better ways of getting rid of water quickly down to the ocean, instead of them putting it into United Nations Agenda 21 sustainable development projects, because it's not sustainable. They're not, you know, they're what are they doing? They're giving us cycleways, they're painting tiles in the main street, removing all the car parks so the businesses go bankrupt. And they're just making it very difficult for small business to survive. And of course, all the big business, the corporations that are all WEF trained, those big companies, they're allowed to stay open and trade, and they get incredible tax relief because they are in partnership with the globalists, the globalist puppets. And so, you know, we've got to become self-sufficient. That is the most important thing. With our communications, we need to be self-sufficient. We can't rely on cell towers. We can't rely on these people. We can't rely on people for fuel, even if it means getting back to, you know, having some horses. If you're out in the country, have some horses. If you know, soon I don't think we'll be able to get diesel. So I used to train harness horses, and I'm going to start building. I'm an engineer, and I'm going to start building some fore carts so that you can actually use those to pull logs around. You can use them to plow. And basically just move things around, just like a utility. And so it's called a forecut. So I'll be starting to build some of those at Edwards Engineering soon, and I'll let you know about that. So that I think that's more important now for me than because I don't think we'll be able to make diesel in the future, because I think that things like waste oil, cooking oil, and also waste diesel oil will be a thing of the past, and they'll be very hard to get. So therefore, you won't even be able to make your own brew, which is not hard to make. It's very easy. It's just a matter of adding a certain amount of catalyst to the waste oil, filtering it first, and you heat the oil, add the catalyst, and then you wash it. And it's very simple to make diesel. And then there's ways of testing it as well. And all that stuff's online. But, you know, in the future, we might not have an online. We might not be able to go online to help ourselves. So we need to download a lot of things that will help us be self-sufficient now while we can. And so you've got them there ready to go, even if you print them off as well. Because, you know, you don't know. If there was an EMP strike, for example, you know, they keep talking about that. If there was an EMP strike, your computer would be stuffed, wouldn't it? Even your solar would be stuffed. So we've really got to, we actually have to plan to live as though we're in the 18th century, because I don't think we'll even have solar in the long run if you want to survive outside of this system. And I don't want to be a part of this beast system. I'm not going to be taking a digital ID, and I'm not going to be part of that, because I know that it's satanic, that the being behind that is Satan, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I think most of you, even if you're not Christian, you wouldn't want to be involved in some Hitlerian sort of a Fourth Reich society. That's not what our fathers and grandfathers didn't fight in world wars all around the world to just throw it all away and lose our freedom, and to be living like neo-feudal slaves, which is their aim for us. So I'll leave it with you. The most important thing is to be self-sustainable, is to be independent of others, and to be independent of the government. Come together as groups for ideas and things like that, and form alliances with people that are thinking the same way as you. But I certainly don't think you can rely on the government for anything. And so we have to be self-sufficient for food, self-sufficient for abilities that you have, building. If you can build but you're not much good in the garden, you know, you can trade those. And I think we need to start trading and become quite good at bartering, which they'll probably outlaw eventually, but this is where we're heading. So right now you need to be able to have your own water. We've learnt this from this cyclone. You need to make sure that you've got your own water tanks on your property. Even if you live in the city, just do it. Water tanks. You need a way of being able to get that water to your tap safely, drinking water, and you need to have your own power generation. So you'll need to put solar panels in, and be careful when you're buying these solar panels. Make sure there's sometimes that the old technology is the best technology when it comes to batteries. You can get all these modern batteries, but I think you're better off just bringing them in. You bring them in from China, these 2-volt batteries, they're 500 amp batteries. Just whatever system you choose to go with, and make sure you get a backup inverter controller as well. Go that old way. I know that you can't run them down, cycle them as much as these other ones, but you know I've never had any trouble with my old lead acid batteries. They're like 150 year old or more technology, but they still work. They're not that efficient, but nothing is really. The newer ones are, but can we trust them? And also the fact, how do you get those? What actually goes into the manufacture of those is a lot of exploitation of small children collecting the things that they need to build those batteries. So I would just go with the lead acid. I would get those going, get as many solar panels as you can get. I go with Grow It. I think that those are the best inverter controllers. But I've got a friend down in Horowhenua, David Binion. He's very cluey on that. So he's not on. He doesn't go on the internet, but I've got his email. So if you contact me at libertynz@yandex.com, libertynz@yandex.com. If you look on the Podbean, LibertyNZ Podbean, you'll see my name at the bottom and that email address. If you email me, I'll send you his email, and he's very helpful. You can ring him up and talk to him, David Binion. He's been living off grid for 30 years. And so there's not much that he doesn't know. He doesn't like the system that I'm using, which is an inverter controller all in one. He likes to have a separate controller and a separate inverter. And I think he could be right too, but time will tell. But make sure you've got backups of everything. Plenty of solar panels, plenty of batteries. Look after your batteries. And look for other ways as well. If you get a lot of wind at your place, well, then you can probably look at wind generation. But be careful when there's a big storm, you know, predicted to come through. You need to tie the thing down. You don't want that spinning off its rocker and hurting somebody, smashing itself to bits. And also hydro too. There's some very economical hydro systems that you can get that are well worth investing in. So just if you've got a river. But be careful, don't build next to it. You know, like I've got a massive stream that runs through our place, and I mean, it floods. Through this whole thing and other floods, it comes up and it goes down. But I wouldn't put a house down there. You know, I wouldn't, I've never seen it flood, and nor has the lady who used to own this farm before we bought it. She's never seen it flood in all her life. But you just don't know what's coming, do you? So just be careful where you build. If you're building, in an area and there's a bank behind it, make sure that bank behind is well drained. Make sure you've got, you know, not just 4-inch Nova Coil, but 8-inch Nova Coil going right around the building site so that any water that comes off there, any surface water, can stay well away from your piles, because you don't want your piles to be sodden. It's really important. If they get wet, that ground around them gets wet, that's a recipe for disaster. And so, and building on the sides of hills, you know, I think you're better to get a digger in and level your building site and then build on a flat site. That would be my advice. I wouldn't go just putting piles in the ground, because if that whole lot moves, you know, then everything goes down with it. And that's how that poor young firefighter volunteer lost his life at Murawai. And so, anyway, so we've got to be self-sufficient. We've got to have proper communications, and we've got to make sure that we have got some way of, just be careful where we build. That's what I would say. Be careful where you put your property, and then you'll be right. And so, yeah, that's really, really vital that you're careful where you put your house or your cabin so that you don't get washed down the hill or down a river. So, communications, self-sufficiency with food, and don't believe a word the government tells you, because they're a pack of lying bastards. We know this now, you know, so there we are. So this is Grant Edwards for Liberty NZ. I hope it didn't depress you too much, and hopefully I've got some nice news coming up on the next podcast. Thank you now.